You're listening to the Gordon Damer Show podcast on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes. Back once again, off and running on this Wednesday, December 2nd. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York, this Wednesday edition. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Hopefully everybody got through me not being here yesterday, but let's dive right in. Of course, as you know, we only have an hour, so way too much to squeeze in. But the bullet points for today, and certainly want to hear from you, 1-800-919-ESPN. I'm on Twitter, on Instagram, at Gordon Damer. But the bullet points for today, want to touch on Daniel Jones, want to touch on Gary Sanchez, and want to touch on Tom Thibodeau. But of course, today is Wednesday, weren't here yesterday. So we have poop rankings for today. Gee, I wonder who number one is going to be. It's a big mystery every single week in the NFL poop rankings. And this is now for what, week 13? Already week 13. So we'll see if the last week's number one and every single week's number one remains number one. But today is also a very big day because it is day one for Pod 2. Now you might be saying to yourself, what the hell is Pod 2? The Regal Tumble continues on Monday. In case you missed Monday's show, we hit the halfway point, and we've instituted a new rule midstream, like you do in professional wrestling sometimes. They make whatever's best for the audience. That's the where the ultimate decision lays, or lies, or whatever, and that's what we decided to do. So we'll get into what that means moving forward, and of course, as I said, your phone calls, 1-800-919-ESPN. And on Twitter, on Instagram, at Gordon Damer. But today, I know people have been saying some Wednesday night football. It's really not. We have some Wednesday afternoon football, right? We are finally, at least so far, at least as of what, 5:02 on Wednesday morning, we're finally going to have this much-discussed Ravens-Steelers game. Again, a reminder, a game that was supposed to take place on Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you still have some leftovers from Thanksgiving. I ran through the stuffing as quick. That's my go-to in terms of rewatchability or re-eatability or leftover ability, whatever you want to call it. The stuffing is fantastic. The stuffing has been long gone. The container, I don't even know what you call it, the big pot that my wife cooks the stuffing in has already made its way out of the dishwasher and is back in the shelf basically until next year. So the fact that they're finally now going to get the Ravens and Steelers game in, I guess it's nice, right? Be able to get the game in. Could you imagine? Can you just, let's just be fair for a second. Could you imagine if Major League Baseball had dealt with this exact same problem, this exact same situation in the exact same way that the NFL has been dealing with this? Could you imagine the amount of time in shows, TV, radio, articles, internet, everywhere you go, could you imagine how badly Rob Manfred would be getting crucified? Football, though, it's like, oh, the game's on Wednesday. All right, we'll watch the game on Wednesday. What's the line? Is the line moved at all? If they have any more players out, how's that going to impact the defense? That's all they care about. The Ravens are a team that had positive tests for people on their team, either players or coaches, come back for 8 days in a row. 8 days of positive tests. They've not, I don't believe, had a normal workout in over a week. I don't know how you would be able to have a workout in more than a week. They have basically players missing in every part of their team, right? Like running back, every aspect of their team, it seems like, is either missing players or might be missing players. They, as of yesterday, had zero tight ends on their 53-man roster. Now, they have, I think, a couple on their practice squad, but still, zero. Like, the Ravens have had a full-blown outbreak at basically every position, I think outside of, like, special teams, you know, like a kicker and punter and linebacker. Or outside linebacker, one of the other. They've had 20 positive tests. You're still playing the game? Yeah, we're still playing the game. And you'd have to say that the Ravens have been treated fantastically in this whole situation, right? You have the poor Steelers who have had, you know, they've done nothing wrong. And this is the second time that their schedule has been screwed around because of the actions of others. This past week, you had a farce of a game involving the Broncos where the team did not have a quarterback. Even my daughter, who knows nothing about sports, knows you kind of need to have a quarterback. Imagine if baseball had a game being played, and it's only in baseball would only have been one of 60 this year, would not have been as important as one of 16, where they had a game being played where the team had no pitchers. They just had no, they had to use a catcher as a pitcher. I mean, is that ridiculous? The Patriots earlier this year had to fly out the day of the game to play a game where, oh yeah, by the way, Patriots didn't have their quarterback. And yet the Saints, I'm pretty sure they're the team, right? They lost the draft pick for not like following the protocols. The protocols are clearly imaginary. It's just whatever is coming down the pike at that time and whatever the NFL feels like doing. They're just going to keep plowing through no matter what. And the fact that this game is, I guess, going to take place, I mean, I guess there's still the possibility some other player comes down. I mean, they've had day after day of players. Did they have some yesterday? Yeah, I had some yesterday. We're going to keep going, though. We think that they're already counted in the other 20 that the team has already kind of reported. So we'll see if we can make this work. Unbelievable. 1-800-919-ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. But let's get to the bullet points. It certainly looks like, for the Giants, no Daniel Jones this week. I guess he's not been officially ruled out as of yet, but and I guess they're still saying that there's the possibility he could play. He should not play. There's no reason for him to play. Really, you could make the argument there's really no reason for him to play until week 16. Now, if he's healthy, right, if it's the type of injury that he's going to be fully healthy by next week, okay, fine. You know, I mean, whenever he's healthy, you're going to play him. But you don't really need him. I mean, the race in the NFC East is 2-6. The first team, probably to 6 wins, wins the division. And that's, of course, saying that someone will get to 6 wins, which is not guaranteed. In the NFC East, though, if you win 6, and if you're the first to win 6, you're probably going to be the only one to win 6. Now, the Giants are not beating the Seahawks with Daniel Jones, without Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones at 100%, Daniel Jones at 50%. If they somehow cloned two Daniel Joneses, they would not be beating the Seahawks this week. So, and he's not going to be at 100% clearly by the time that game is played. You're not winning against the Seahawks in Seattle. But you know what? It doesn't really matter, because if you could simply get him healthier, I think the Arizona game is also a bit of a stretch to think you would win that game. But the Browns game, I think that that's a winnable game. And those games, in that order, are more important than the one that they're playing this week. Because when you look at the NFC East, up until week 16, you tell me where these wins are coming from, right? Like, the Giants are at Seattle, they get Arizona and Cleveland. I don't know that they're going to win any of those games. I would think Cleveland is probably the most winnable game. But, okay, that's not easy, right? So let's say 1-2, which doesn't sound great, but in the NFC East, boy, that's... Yeah, you're running away with things if you go 1-2 in that 3-game stretch. If the Giants go 1-2 in their next 3 games, they'll almost certainly win the division. Because here's the other teams in the division over the next 3 weeks. Washington gets at Pittsburgh, at San Francisco, and Seattle. I don't think they're winning any of those games. The Eagles, does it even matter who I say, right? Like, the Eagles at this point, does it even matter what teams I tell you that they're going to play? Because at this point, it doesn't seem like they would be able to win a game against any professional team. And maybe even some like semi-pro teams with the way that they're playing and the way that Carson Wentz is playing. But just for argument's sake, the Eagles are at Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona. So you would have to say at that point, that would be no, no, no. And then the Cowboys, much like the Eagles, doesn't matter. They play Baltimore, who we would have to assume is going to have at least 5 healthy people at that point. That might be all that they need to beat the Cowboys. Then they get at Cincinnati, which you would think is a winnable game. But who knows? Maybe Cincinnati looks at that game as being a winnable game for them. I mean, it is the Cowboys. And then you have San Francisco. So, I mean, how many winnable games? If you take the Giants out of the equation, right? Washington, they have 0, I would think, winnable games. The Eagles, there is no such thing that exists for the Eagles as a winnable game at this point. And then you have the Cowboys, which, again, same as rule two. So I'm not sure that someone is going to win a game out of those. I would just simply say that I would rest Daniel Jones. He is not needed, at least for this week. At least for this week. Okay, so that's the giant point. Gary Sanchez, that was the second bullet point. Today is the deadline for teams to tender contracts to the players. Gary Sanchez is one of those cases, and you'd have to say one of the more fascinating ones, right? A lot of talk about Gary Sanchez, not just the fact that he's a Yankee, but because we've seen the highs and we've certainly seen the lows, and this year you would have to say is the lowest of the lows, and there's expected to be lots of players, recognizable names, that do not get tendered contracts, even though they are good players. I saw the report that I think it was Eddie Rosario with the Twins, you know, an above-average outfielder who's expected to get a contract, was in line to get a contract of about like $9 million, and he is expected to be a free agent. But there's another bunch of recognizable names that are out there, and Gary Sanchez, at one point this offseason, certainly seemed like a good possibility of not getting tendered a contract. And if the Yankees were to offer him a contract based on arbitration, it would be about $5 million. So, I mean, it's been all said about how horrendous Gary Sanchez was last year. And he was absolutely horrendous. And this is now two times in the past 3 years that he has been horrendous. And you know the best sign that he was horrendous last year? The Yankees basically admitted, finally, what we could all see, right? Like for the last couple of years, when Gary Sanchez has been struggling, the Yankees have been his biggest defender. And that makes sense, right? It's their team. He's their player. They're always going to defend their player, probably the right course of action. But they've taken it to such a ridiculous extreme at times to make you think that you did not see what you saw when it was clear. I mean, in every aspect, the guy was bad. And this year, I mean, he was not a professional. He did not perform like a professional player, at least a starting player on a professional team. So, and the Yankees can say whatever they want. When the real rubber hit the road of the postseason, when that rolled around, the only Yankee who saw the field less was Davey Garcia, who pitched for all of one inning. But it is expected that the Yankees will tender him a contract and that he will be back for this upcoming season. I think that even with all that said, even as bad as he has been, I think that that is the right move. The last thing you want to see is your guy succeed somewhere else. That really has been one of the real positives, I think, of the Brian Cashman tenure. Very rarely did the Yankees allow a player to get away, trade, free agency, and that player comes back to hurt you in some way, right? They perform better with the other team. They come back to beat you with the other team. That has not really happened very often. And there was a time with the Yankees where that would happen all the time. Trade away this young guy for some over-the-hill guy, some guy who was good at one point, and the young player would turn out to be, you know, killing the Yankees for years and years and years. I don't think that you can allow that to happen. Even in a year where the payroll is expected to be less, I think that the last thing you want to see is your guy. And, you know, Gary Sanchez has been in the organization now for over a decade, I think it is. I don't think that the Yankees are going to allow that to happen. You saw it with the Mets with Travis d'Arnaud. I mean, that was a guy who had constant injuries, constant opportunities, never put it all together. You release him, and then he goes other places and, you know, has put together a fine career elsewhere. The Mets with Justin Turner, the Dodgers with Max Muncy. He was a guy that got released, was it by Texas or Oakland? One of those teams released him. So I think that you do have to have a better fallback than Kyle Higashioka. And you can't be surprised if Gary Sanchez goes into next year and turns out to perform at exactly the same level as he did this past year. But it's a full year. I think it's another chance. I think it's a last chance. And I will say this. There's a good chance, probably a better than 50-50 chance, that it does turn out to be disastrous, right? It turns out that Gary Sanchez puts up roughly the same performance that he put up in two of the previous 3 years. But I think for $5 million, I think it's worth that chance. I think it's worth that chance. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. All right, so coming up, we'll get to the Tom Thibodeau bullet point. We have poop rankings for today, big Regal tumble developments. So we got a lot of stuff to do. don't miss Disney's new movie, Safety, inspired by a true story of Clemson football safety Ray McElrathenby. Start streaming exclusively on Disney Plus December 11th. All right, it is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. We will get to the Regal Tumble in just a moment. I did have a, you know what? One other thing on the COVID stuff, and I know this is probably, I don't know if it's popular or not, but rather than people, and I see this all the time, people tweeting out, you know, I tested positive, this is how I'm feeling. People, and I get it, you know, everybody wants you to recover, everybody wants you to get through it and all that type of stuff, whether you know the person or not. Rather than tweeting out that you got it and how you're feeling, tweet out how you got it. That would actually be helpful. And I know what you're saying, well, you know, how do you know you got it? You know. You know how you got it. Because there's either one of two things. Either you look back now, you know, generally you're bedridden and quarantining. You have more than enough time to think, how did this happen? And you think back, oh, yeah. And no judgment. I'm just saying you have to be able to think back and say to yourself, oh, that, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have had this interaction, or I should have been probably more careful here or there. Or if you're not able to come up with one specific or two specific instances, well, then you've just been completely irresponsible the entire time. Don't tell me you have no idea, right? Walk through it. You got a free moment. Walk through it. You have an idea. It's like when, you know, my tum-tum hurts, and I'm thinking back to myself, wow, it's weird. My stomach's hurt. Oh, right. I probably shouldn't have had that, you know, deep-fried hot dog from Rutt's Hut, or, you know, two cinnamon rolls for breakfast. Or, you know, you can piece it together. It's not a mystery, is my point. So rather than tweeting out that you tested positive, you know, tweet out how you got it. You have to be able to figure, you got to be able to narrow it down. That's what I'm saying. All right. On to the Knicks. From COVID to the Knicks. What a smooth transition, huh? Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks, what, they had media day Monday, right? And the headline was Tom Thibodeau saying that he is not going to just play the young guys unless they give the team the best chance to win. And the quote that I saw from his, I guess it was a Zoom interview, nothing will be given to anyone. You're going to have to earn your minutes. Those decisions on rotation will be based on performance and what gives the team the best chance of winning. A player is not going to get minutes just to get minutes. You have to impact winning. You have to put the team first. Well, look, there are things that coaches say, and there are the things that the coaches actually do, and I would not expect Tom Thibodeau to come, or any coach, to come into an interview session and say, you know what? We're going to play the young guys come hell or high water. Even if they stink, even if they're terrible, even if they're not performing, they can just basically show up, we'll roll the ball out onto the court, and those guys are going to play. I don't expect any coach to say that. That said, the problem with this idea for Tom Thibodeau in the long term is that playing the veteran guys does not give the Knicks a better chance of winning either now or in the future, right? Like, I don't know who on the Knicks roster will be here when things eventually get turned around. Maybe it's a couple of pieces. Maybe it's none of those pieces. For Tom Thibodeau and for Knicks fans and for myself just viewing basketball, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But Tom Thibodeau can be Red Auerbach, and the Knicks are not going anywhere now in the future unless R.J. Barrett, Obi Toppin, Mitchell Robinson, hopefully Kevin Knox, maybe on an outside chance, Frank Ntilikina. Unless those guys are part of the equation. Now, I'm not saying you just give those guys minutes even if they don't earn them. And all those guys might be long shots to be part of the equation of the Knicks turning it around. They're better shots than, you know, with no disrespect, Austin Rivers or Nerlens Noel or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Julius Randle or Alex Burks or whoever. The Knicks' plan is pretty simple. It's discover what you have on your roster, develop what you have on your roster, and then get ready for the draft. Discover, develop, draft, because you're going to be back in the lottery next year. Whether it's low down in the lottery, whether it's high up in the lottery, you should be bad. And the Knicks should shut out the noise. And the noise is the people in the media, or, you know, fans. It's not really fans. It's mostly the media that will crush you for being a bad team again. You know, Knicks have been rebuilding for... No, they haven't. They haven't been doing this forever. They've been doing this since March. This is when they started what they're doing right now. And the noise, the people in the noise, they're not going to applaud you if you win 35 games. They're not going to say, you know what? The Knicks really deserve a lot of credit. They stink. They don't, you know, they're playing the veterans at the cost of the young players. But you know what? At least they won 34 games. No, they're not going to say that. And the noise, the people in the noise, if you win the lottery, or if you get a second or a third pick and get a franchise player, then they will say, you know what? I didn't like the way the Knicks were approaching this, but all right, fine. They've got this player. You know, they'll finally begrudgingly admit it, but only if you turn it around. Because if you get into the lottery and, you know, you draft a player that does not turn out to be what you expect, or you're picking 13th and you don't get a player that's going to impact winning greatly, well, you know, the Knicks have been they tried this and it failed again. The only way the Knicks are going to get out of this mess is by drafting and developing the talent that they have at their disposal. No one is coming here to save you. There is no quick fix. There is no free agent. There is no trade. You have to draft and develop. It's the only way forward. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. All right, let's get to it. It is day number 30 of the Regal Tumble. The Regal Tumble, the battle for television supremacy. Now, if you were not with us on Monday, turns out, was the final show for the shows in Pod 1. Now, you might be saying, Gordon, what the hell is Pod 1? Well, over the weekend, I came up with this idea that, you know, the shows that have been in the mix since the beginning, day after day, you know, they're very powerful shows. They deserve to be there at the end. And they would be there at the end, no matter what. But, you know, it's a little unfair for the shows that have been battling every single day to then go up against a show that just popped in and maybe gets a big pop and then gets, you know, one of these favorites gets eliminated. So the shows that we've been battling here for the first 29 days, now that they have, you know, made it this far, halfway point of the Regal Tumble, those shows will now advance to the semifinals. And we will have some new shows starting today. But in case you're unaware, missed Monday's show for whatever reason, shame on you. The Pod 1 semifinalists are The Sopranos, what many consider the overall favorite. Those that don't consider it the overall favorite consider Seinfeld the overall favorite. It's kind of one and two, kind of back and forth. And we saw that in the voting each and every day. And then the third show into the semifinals, I guess maybe a bit of a surprise, is Chappelle's Show. Now, Dave Chappelle himself doesn't want you to watch that show anymore because he's not getting paid for it on Netflix. But still, great show, great piece of iconic television. And I think it deserves to be in the mix, even though it's not, you know, typically what you might consider, you know, an hour-long drama or a situational comedy, but Chappelle's Show. So those are the three shows that are advancing to the semifinals, and we will eventually see them again. But not right now, not today. And in case you weren't here Monday, it turns out that the show that got eliminated Monday, not surprisingly, was Maury. And I will say this, you were all a bunch of hypocrites. Because if you had, you know, the old intersection, Max Kellerman always uses the analogy about how boxing is the greatest sports by putting the four sports in an intersection. Which sport are you watching? If you were in an intersection and there was The Sopranos going on and Seinfeld going on and Chappelle's Show going on and Maury going on, more than 7% of you would be watching the poop
you
show.
You are not.
That's an iconic television right there. The fact that only 7% of you wanted to even admit it on an anonymous poll is outrageous. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed of yourselves. Okay, but Maury did not cut the mustard. And it was really not. It was down in the This Is Us Real Housewives territory. 7%. Terrible. But now we are on to Pod 2, which includes the return of an ousted show. That ousted show would be The Office. Yes, The Office is back in the mix. How so? They were eliminated already. Well, look, they're going to have to run the entire way here, right from the start. No complaints. They get in, but they got to run every single day, and that might cost, you know, some people might not like that. But I was doing some research on the Royal Rumble, which is the basis for the Regal Tumble. Stone Cold Steve Austin, 97, apparently he got back in the ring. I think he might have won. I'm not really sure. I didn't do that much research. I just said a little research. And he won the Royal Rumble. So that could be, that could happen for The Office. It's a very popular show. And it's never going to be more popular than it is now, because at the end of the year, it's coming off Netflix. And I think that has kind of boosted up its popularity, because people can watch it every single day. Okay, so that's show one. But what's the next show coming down the runway? This just sounds like it came out at the dawn of television. Now, this is the White Shadow, right? Is that right, Ray? This is White Shadow.
Yeah. Which I had the research before I picked it up.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching. It was a little bit before my time. It was not ever one of my wheelhouse shows, but this is a 98.7 Illuminati pick. So that's why it automatically makes the field. Any Illuminati pick, even as preposterous as some of them were. But the White Shadow, it might be your thing. It's certainly for people who are fans of it. It was it's one that they love. So there's a very big diehard quotient there. So we'll see how the White Shadow does today. All right, what else do we got? Now the original idea, yeah, for the Regal Tumble was to do TV theme songs. And if it had been TV theme songs, not that we did seedings, but this Good Times would be like The Sopranos. Good Times theme song is fantastic. Now, whether or not it can compete for the greatest television show of all time, I think some people took it to be that TV shows I like, rather than the greatest television show of all time. But look, I remember Good Times. I've seen Good Times, so it's in the mix. All right, so we've got one more spot left in the pod two for day number 30. Who is it going to?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
No, no, don't do this! Enough is enough!
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Wait a minute! Oh, my God!
Now, you're going to say, Gordon, you screwed it up again. And I will just simply point out, I didn't screw up anything. This is your nominees. These are your nominations. I didn't do nothing. I just came up with the idea and asked you to pick the greatest television shows of all time. And that, of course, is SpongeBob SquarePants. And I know that it's SpongeBob SquarePants because they're saying SpongeBob SquarePants. And that would be a weird lyric to throw into a show that is not about SpongeBob SquarePants. You know what? I was actually I don't believe I've ever seen an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. It's possible when my kids were smaller, although I don't really think SpongeBob is a show that appeals to younger kids. But, you know, I always kind of reference the book by Alan Sepinwall, TV, the book, where he ranks like the 100 greatest shows of all time. Of the four shows today, White Shadow, The Office, Good Times, and SpongeBob. SpongeBob is the highest rated of the four shows, so maybe I'm just missing out. Maybe it's just maybe I got to go and I don't even know where I would go watch it.
Very big with the millennial group, I feel.
Yeah,
like
all right. Well, maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens when the voting gets put up here when we get to the commercial, because I forgot to type it out ahead of time. But SpongeBob is ranked 22nd according to Sepinwall. The Office is 52. So in terms of those rankings, it's a blowout. But we'll see. That is a very odd mix. And I can, it's almost like, you ever look at your celebrity birthdays that you share birthdays with? It's always like a really weird mix of people. And yesterday was my birthday, so I kind of, you had to rank my three celebrity birthday mix, it would be Pablo Escobar, Richard Pryor, and Bette Midler. I mean, you know, that's a weird trio there. And people in that mix, they might have, you know, some, you know, like Pablo and Richard Pryor, I think that they, you know, had some similarities. Richard Pryor and Bette Midler certainly have some similarity. Bette Midler and Pablo, not so much. Not so much. Let me ask you this, Ray. If you had to guess what Pablo Escobar's net worth was at his death, what would you say it was?
Would he have hit $1 billion?
It was at the time, just at the time of his death, not in, adjusted for inflation, it was $30
billion. Oh, my God.
$30 billion. He's even richer than Steve Cohen. He's even richer than Uncle Stevie.
But you know what? Of course he would be. Of course, yeah. Of course he would be.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. And you know another interesting thing? I fell into a Pablo Escobar wormhole on my 50th birthday. Pablo Escobar was born on December 1st, died on December 2nd. So he died one day after his birthday.
Or at least he got to enjoy his birthday.
Right. He got to enjoy his birthday. I'm sure, you know, he probably, I don't know. All right, 1-800-919
ESPN. Feeling good for Pablo Escobar.
Probably not. Happy birthday, you're dead. All right, 1-800-919 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. All right, so Regal Tumble, I'll put the poll up here momentarily, but of course, it's also day for poop rankings. We usually do it on Tuesday, wasn't here yesterday, so we'll get to poop rankings. I wonder who it will be that's number one. We'll get to it. We'll find out. We'll discover it. We'll discuss it together.
Final seconds ticking off. Bears will not go undefeated, but they have put life and a spark into football in general and Chicago in particular. What a victory for the Dolphins. And Dolphin players congratulate Walter Payton. And Dan Marino reigns supreme once again.
Oh, my God. What a memory. Your moment of inspiration, even if it's just for me, on this Wednesday morning. Yesterday, as I said, was my 50th birthday. And I don't remember what I got for my 15th birthday, which the anniversary of that game, the 85 Dolphins taking down the previously unbeaten Bears, is today. I don't remember what I got for my 15th birthday, which would have been 1985. But if you would have told, the best gift I could have possibly gotten would have been someone to tell me somewhere that that highlight, that that game, was probably going to be the apex of my fandom for at least 35 years. I mean, that is probably the highlight for 35 years. 35 years is a pretty, you know, it's not a full life, but it's not, you know, you didn't get cheated. You know, it was the old Louis C.K. They're not holding any candlelight vigils after 35 years. What a disaster. What an absolute disaster.
That game was the how I learned that Mercury Morris and all those guys throw the party every year when the last team.
Yeah, that might have been the first time that it became aware to me as well.
It was
a great
still
win.
Do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, they're still, you know.
I don't know what they're capable of doing at this day, but
right.
They probably still party.
I probably do. Yeah. Why wouldn't they? If they were doing it in 1985, that's been a pretty good tradition.
If the Steelers lose tonight, I'm sure we'll hear about Mercury Morris at some point.
Absolutely. Although I don't think that the Steelers are going to lose tonight. But
I should say this afternoon.
We'll see if the Steelers even play tonight. That's a whole other thing right there. All right, it is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. Your moment of inspiration for this Wednesday morning. But it is Wednesday. Now, that was the highs. It's time now for the lows. NFL Poop Rankings, Week 13 edition. And not that they make the rankings, but I did want to point this out. It seems very likely that Tua Tagovailoa is going to miss the game for the Dolphins this upcoming week. Wow, what a shock that a guy who could not stay healthy in college has not stayed healthy in the pros. Well, Gordon, he's only been in there for a hot minute. You got to give him a chance. Yes, this is the time where he should be staying healthy. If he got injured, you know, 3 years from now, when he's been taking the grueling life of the NFL, okay, fine. He just got off the bench, and he can't even stay healthy. It's not a big deal. Actually, it is. It is actually a big deal, because the Dolphin organization has basically screwed themselves. His biggest question was his health, his ability to stay healthy. He is already showing he can't do that. They have short-circuited their rebuild with a terrible decision they did not need to make. When you pick a quarterback and you're a football team, you're betting your career on it. When you're Brian Flores or Chris Greer, you're betting a good chance your career on that one decision. And the Dolphins did that with a guy who can't stay healthy. But hey, he's got a cool name and he'll sell a lot of jerseys and he's from Hawaii. And who doesn't love Hawaii? All right, on to the poop rankings. Poop rankings. Number five, I would have to say for this week, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have only one win, but you know what? They have actually played pretty hard. And they fired the GM, Dave Caldwell. And I'm sure before too long, Doug Marrone is going to, you know, walk the plank as well. But, you know, they played, I think they lost, they got blown out by the Steelers, but they played hard in that game for a while. They played hard in the Browns game this past week. They lost to the Texans by only a couple of points. And you go back, you know, we talk about week one, they won that game and how they kind of maybe screwed their organization here for the foreseeable future because they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence because the Jets are not going to win a single game. But they almost won in game, the week two, they played the Titans and lost by a field goal. If they had won that game, then they would have absolutely, I mean, if they had two wins at this point, the conversation about Trevor Lawrence would not even be taking place. It would be already over. At least with one win, I guess it's still foreseeable that they could possibly, you know, catch up to the Jets because they have the tiebreaker. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least it's feasible. At two wins, it's not even in worthy of a conversation. All right, so they're number five in the poop rankings, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number four, you saw them on Monday night, the Philadelphia Eagles. Usually when you write off the Eagles, that is when they respond. That is when they prove to you, we're not dead, we're back from the dead. This time, actually dead. They are official. I am officially calling them dead. The highlight for them from this past week is that Carson Wentz no longer leads the NFL in sacks, interceptions, and fumbles. It's only sacks and interceptions now because David Carr, he had a fumble. I think he might have had more than one, but he now has taken over the overall lead in fumbles. So Carson Wentz, now that's the good news, that he no longer leads all three categories, just two. The bad news is, I saw this on Pro Football Talk, Carson Wentz this year has seen the sixth greatest drop in quarterback rating ever. That's bad. What's worse is that the other five guys, all but one, retired after that season. That's how bad Carson Wentz has been. The other guys said, you know what? Got to call it a career. Now, those other guys, they were on average, I think, either 37 or 38. You know, they were at the end of their career. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre was on the list. So all those guys said, you know what? I can't hack it anymore. Carson Wentz, he's not going anywhere. So there you go. That number four on the list, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number three. This is going to shock. The New York Jets. The Jets are at number three on the poop rankings. I will start by saying this. Three head coaches, as you know, have now been fired. And not Adam Gase. That is, I mean, you talk about shocking. That is shocking. That is incredible. And Sunday, there was some reason for optimism, right? Dolphins were playing with their backup quarterback. They've been pretty banged up. The Jets were getting their quarterback back. Their offense, you know, they had their weapons, right? All this talk about the weapons, Gordon. They don't have the weapons. They don't have the weapons. They got the weapons. And the weapons went, poop, right down the tube. Oh, terrible. I mean, the performance, oh, my God, it was hard to watch. Not for me. I enjoyed every second of it. I have it on the DVR. I might watch it after the show's over. And I would just simply question, you know, we're talking about Adam Gase. Is he calling the plays? Is it Dowell Loggins? I would just float out there. Are we positive? Has it been confirmed that anyone's calling the plays? Because that would be, you know, part of the problem. You know, who's driving the car? You driving the car? Nobody's driving the car. It's just running down the road on its own. It's at least feasible with these Jets. All right, so the Jets are number three. Who could possibly be taking up the top two spots? It's also the Jets. The Jets are number two and number one. You say, oh, Gordon, you can't do that. I can do whatever I want. I came up with poop rankings on my own. This is my baby. So, yes, the Jets are one, two, and three. I mean, technically, they could be all five spots. They could be just that bad. And I will say again, put it on the record. Keep the recording. The Jets will go 0-16. The Jets will get the number one pick. And the Jets will fire Adam Gase. There is a 0.0% chance that he will be back after this year. Well, Gordon, it's not up to Joe Douglas. I don't care who it's up to. Does the whoever this person is, do they have eyes? They do? Oh, well, then I guess, all right, we're good. I would even say this. I'm sure that there's some visually impaired Jet fans out there. They would tell you that Adam Gase needs to go. I don't care if it's Woody Johnson. I don't care if it's Christopher Johnson. I don't care if it's Chad Johnson. I don't care if it's Calvin Johnson. Magic Johnson. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't care what Johnson it is. Adam Gase will be fired after this season. Not even the Jets could screw that up. Hey, video chatting with family this holiday season. Well, we've got the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering. New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. It's 98.7 ESPN's Sam and the Fam Sweepstakes. Here's how you win. Stick to the script, Gordon. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam should hang with your family for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send that message to us at 98.7ESPN@gmail.com. That's 987ESPN@gmail.com. Winners will each get a one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. It's all from your home for the hookup and your home for the hangout. 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. And I got to say, I am shocked, stunned, that at least in the early vote, and again, the early voting does not always tell the tale, although there's no write-in votes here, so we don't have to worry about that. Day number 30 of the Regal Tumble, and at least so far, the white shadow, what I recognize is that when a show starts out at under 10%, especially, you know, in a good course of the show, even though the show, you know, it's been up for maybe a half hour, it's very tough to overcome that. This is going to have to be, you ever see like the sports movies where they have the sports montage? That is what this is going to need to be for the white shadow. They're going to need a sports montage to come back because at least right now they are tracking at 6%. That is, you don't need to be a mathematician to know that's pretty bad. And I'm really kind of stunned that the white shadow is doing that poorly, even though it was a 98.7 ESPN Illuminati pick. But The Office, Good Times, SpongeBob SquarePants, your other options. And at least so far, people are tweeting me that SpongeBob SquarePants, Gordon, that's a fantastic show. I admit when I get things wrong from time to time. It doesn't happen that often, but I'm always the first to admit when I get things wrong. But when it comes to TV, it doesn't happen very often. Like I said, that Ozark is terrible. It's terrible. That thing, The Undoing, that Undoing thing on HBO, you undo the time you spent watching The Undoing, because that, I mean, what a terrible finale. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but what a colossal waste of time that was. Oh, my God, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. So, again, vote on the Regal Tumble. It's up on Twitter. It's at Gordon Damer. And if you follow me and you like the Regal Tumble, you want your shows to do well, I would just simply say if you could hit that little retweet button, that would be fantastic. Even if you have, you know, only I, Gordon, I only have 100 followers. That's fantastic. That's fine. You get it out there to the people. That's what we need. We need to spread the word. So if you can, please do so. So in terms of the highlights for today's show, of course, we have the Wednesday afternoon football, which is a complete farce. We touched on that. And could you imagine if baseball was doing something like this? Could you imagine the amount of calls and the amount of reaction you'd be getting for Rob Manfred and the like? But we'll see if the Yankees bring back Gary Sanchez, which is expected. We'll see if we get a little bit of news on Daniel Jones over the course of the day. Doesn't seem like he's going to play, and I would say at this point, it doesn't make any sense for him to play. Let him sit out. You're not going to win the game anyway. And you don't really, even if you don't win a game until week 16, you're fine. You're probably not going to have anybody overtake you over that span either. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. Please vote on the Regal Tumble. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we will do headlines. We'll have the results and a new show entering the Regal Tumble. So lots of stuff to do tomorrow. Obviously, the podcast will be up in a little bit. If you missed any of the show today, certainly you can find that on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And we'll be back with you tomorrow starting at 5. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, up next, 98.7 FM, ESPN, New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.